from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple and accessible to all. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. And coming up on today's show, we're going to prep you for opening day, which is obviously later today. The Giants released their roster finally today in the morning. So we'll talk about that briefly, and then we're going to do an installment of the Giants mailbag. But first, talking about the roster, it was released today and there were quite a few surprises. So Rico Garcia, who was claimed off waivers from the Rockies earlier in the offseason, he makes the roster and is probably going to, you know, he's capable of starting. He was a starter in the minors, but I think they kind of see him as a reliever. So he's got a big arm. We saw him in one of the exhibition games, and he was throwing hard with a good breaking ball. So he makes the roster, as does Sam Coonrod, who was really impressive in this exhibition game against the A's on Tuesday, throwing 99 with a wipeout. I think it was a changeup or a slider. Caleb Berriger makes this roster as a left-handed reliever. First I ever saw or even really heard of Caleb Berriger was one of these intra-squad games where I see this guy on the mound, no number on his back, left-handed pitcher, just blowing smoke against, you know, Mike Yastrzemski and other major league type hitters, just looking impressive against them. And I'm like, who is this guy? Figured out it was Berriger, who was invited late to summer camp and impressed so much that he is on the opening day roster as a left-handed reliever. Connor Menez also makes the cut. The catchers are Rob Brantley and Tyler Heineman. Darren Ruff, not a big surprise, makes the team. Pablo Sandoval does as well. They both had to be added to the 40-man roster. Yomer Sanchez not on the roster. Joe McCarthy does make the team, and that's pretty much the surprises, if you can call them that, or the noteworthy addition. So in order to squeeze these guys onto the 40-man, Giants DFA'd Jose Siri and Kian Wong. I don't quite see how that's enough space on the 40-man. They only DFA'd two guys, yet they have to add six. I'll have to figure that out at a later time. But that's the roster. You can look at it for yourself, easy to find online. But you know, I do just want to jump into the Q&A at this point in time. So thank you so much to everyone who asked questions. And we'll start with Leland, who asks, how long before Joey Bart comes up? I think that's the question on everybody's mind. And I want to say that they may end up making that move on July 29th, because that's the first they can call him up, after which time, you know, if he plays the whole 2020 short season on the major league active roster, he wouldn't gain a full year of service time. So it would potentially push back his free agency from after the 2025 season to the 2026 season. And I'm not totally sure on the rules. Like if you wait until the 29th and then let's say a week or two goes by and then they have to shut down the season because teams are getting infected with COVID-19 and it's throwing everything completely off the rails, I believe he may get the year of service time anyway. And so the question is, do they want to take that risk with Joey Bart? And I think they probably do, because if they're going to say that their main goal is to compete and they want to try to win this year, I think there's a strong argument to be made that he probably would be, you know, a better player potentially than Tyler Heineman and Rob Brantley. But the other factor is, what if those guys are playing well? Then I don't think they'll feel the pressure to do that. So it's a hard question to answer. I kind of lean towards they very well could just shut him down for this season. By shut him down, I mean spend the season at the alternate site. Don't risk losing any service time, but I would need to clarify on that rule about what happens if the season gets shut down even after the 29th. All right, next question comes from Davis Chili, who says, how do you imagine Kapler will hide the pitching liability that is Samardzija this year? I like that question. I think, you know, it's funny because probably like the majority of Giants fans would tell you that Samardzija is our best pitcher, that he had the great season last year, and so he's really good. But you and I know the peripherals were off the charts bad. And so coming into this season, seeing kind of the velocity he was working with in the intra-squad game, I think he's in for a rough season. I would tend to agree with that. I mean, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but you know, all indications to me are that Jeff Samardzija is going to have a difficult time in 2020. So how does Gabe Kapler deal with that? I'm not sure it's going to go over all that well, to be honest. I mean, I can see him struggling in the first 2-3 innings of a game and just getting pulled. And I can just see Jeff Samardzija with that angry, exasperated face, you know, not being happy at all that Kapler's coming out to get him. And I can see that being a big story. And people are saying, oh my God, Kapler is changing the way that the Giants do things. Bochy would have never done this. But the point is, if he's getting pulled, there's probably a reason for it. There's probably runs have scored and there's runners all over the place. So you can't really say anything if that's the case. So I think they'll, you know, Kapler has said repeatedly that they want to do like every little strategic move, but they also want to respect the wishes of their players. And I can appreciate that. You can't just be using guys in a way that makes them really unhappy because that creates problems of their own. And I think he learned that lesson in Philadelphia. Everyone wants to say that he was such a bad manager in Philadelphia, but I would venture to say that almost no one who says that actually really watched him on a daily basis in Philadelphia, and neither did I. But I know someone who did who said, yeah, he made some mistakes early, but as that first season went on, he got a lot better and things went a lot more smoothly. And then in the second season, it was even better than that, and he just continued to improve. So that's the scouting report on Kapler I have. So I think he's going to balance this where if Samardzija really wants to start and try to go as deep as possible, they'll let him have that opportunity, but they're going to say, look, if you're struggling, we're going to have to take you out because these games matter more than they normally would. Each game counts for 2.7 times more than it normally would because of the shortened season. So they can't afford to let him try to work through a jam when like four runs are already in the third inning and there's two guys on. Like, you're coming out of the game at that point. All right, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll continue to answer your questions. There are several more, so we may not be able to get to them, but several good questions coming up in the second half of the show. But first, I want to talk about CBDMD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or a shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all our listeners here at Locked On Giants 25% off for your next order when you use promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONMLB for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we'll continue answering your questions from Twitter. Cameron says, what do you envision for the trade deadline for the Giants and all of baseball? Yeah, this is an interesting one. I mean, Farhan Zaidi is active, and he was very active in the 2019 trade deadline, one of the most active in baseball, and I thought one of the most beautifully handled deadlines in all of baseball, considering where they were. They were competing. and it was Bochy's last season, and yet they wanted to build more towards the future. It was obvious the roster was not like geared very well towards the future, so they towed the line beautifully and made a bunch of moves trading from their bullpen depth. So I would foresee the Giants being active one way or the other this deadline as well, as long as baseball is actually going on. And the thing is, the schedule is so brutal in the first month of the year, which is the first half of the year, that I could easily see the Giants being a little bit out of contention by the deadline, in which case I think they'll be selling. And they have many, many candidates to sell from in the form of Kevin Gausman and Drew Smyly. And those are just two examples of the type of upside arm that I think they'll be able to sell for potentially a pretty substantial return, just like they were able to do with Drew Pomeranz. Because Kevin Gausman and Drew Smyly, I like them quite a bit as upside starters, but at the very least, I think they could be really good relievers. We've seen it from Kevin Gausman. He was really good with the Reds as a reliever last year. And Drew Smyly has that type of stuff that would play up in the bullpen, in my opinion. Coming back from Tommy John, he looked good the other night. The arm is lively. I think, you know, he's got that Drew Pomeranz type of mold. And the Giants really capitalized on moving Pomeranz to the pen and getting Mauricio Dubon in that trade. So I could see them easily selling those two guys. They also could sell some of their controllable and good relief pitchers like Trevor Gott or Tyler Rogers. That would demand an even greater return if those guys pitch well again. Tyler Rogers specifically, I'm super high on, and I think he could be an excellent reliever for the Giants. And I've been very impressed from day one with Trevor Gott. He's just got a magic four-seamer, it would seem. He just blows people away with that high 95-mile-an-hour four-seamer, just gets a ton of swings and misses with it. And, you know, team control for many years for both of these guys, they could be trade targets as well for other teams. And the thinking behind that is that the bullpen is not necessarily the area to build for the future. Like, a good bullpen on a rebuilding-type team is non-imperative, and you want to get, you know, position players ideally and some starters that can really help you win games in a regular season. I think relievers and short stint starters can help you win postseason games, but they don't get you to the playoffs in the first place in a 162 game season. That's the thinking behind trading away relievers when you're in a transition phase. I also think Tyler Anderson, Tony Watson, definitely Pablo Sandoval, Hunter Pence, pretty much any of these guys on like 1 year deals to me should be considered expendable if the Giants are out of contention at the deadline. But I think we could see even more activity because more teams may be in contention and just need to get that little advantage to put them into postseason position, just by the simple fact that teams don't have enough time to pull away. So even if you have a strong favorite in a division, you may have several teams within 2-3 games of first place. And so more contenders could mean, you know, could rise prices because there's more demand. All right, Skyler asks, what do you think about the leverage options for the bullpen? Is Tony Watson the, quote, closer, or is Tyler Rogers the better option? Seems like closer by committee, but wondering who has the edge. Yeah, so kind of the assumed closer by media personnel was Tony Watson once Will Smith left, but I've always thought that Trevor Gott and or Tyler Rogers showed me a lot more than Tony Watson last year. Watson did not have the same type of year that he had in 2018 when he was really, really good. Definitely not the same Tony Watson we saw in 2019. So I wouldn't assume, you know, they have a lead in the ninth, one run tonight against the Dodgers, that they're just going to go to Tony Watson because he's the veteran leader or whatever of the bullpen. It depends on matchups. If you've got Mookie Betts leading off the inning, you're probably going to start the inning with a righty. But if it's Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, and then who knows who behind him, Justin Turner or somebody, you got to think about it, because I think you go to a righty there because in the example I gave, it goes right, left, right. And remember that relievers have to throw to at least three batters now. And so I don't know. Maybe you try to end the prior inning with a righty so you can get a righty to start the ninth against Betts, and then you bring in a lefty for Bellinger, knowing that he's got to also face Turner after that. There is a lot of strategy that goes into this three-batter thing, but I don't think they're going to have set roles. I think you're right, closer by committee. It's going to be about matchups. I think Tyler Rogers is kind of nasty on lefties and righties. So for me, he's a guy that I would be watching this year to just see, can he repeat the type of dominance he displayed last season? And if he can, he is going to get some high leverage innings. He could also start a lot of games and really shut down opponents in the first inning, which is, you know, all the innings matter equally, actually. So, you know, shutting them down in the first inning, which is the highest scoring inning in baseball, is important, especially against a team like the Dodgers. They can jump on you early and often, and so you want to shut them down right away. I also think Trevor Gott, if he's healthy, is a really good bullpen arm. We saw it last year. He kind of struggled a little bit when he didn't seem healthy, and sure enough, he went on the injured list. But when he's right, and I saw him against the A's the other night, and he was just blowing smoke and blowing people away. So look out for Gott. Look out for Rogers. We'll see with Watson. I think to start the year, you're going to look more at a matchup type situation. All right, so next I want to talk about rockauto.com. One reason that we repair and maintain our cars is to save money that we can then use for more important things like the mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and just $216.79 at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Whether it's for your classic car or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, that is all the time we have for today. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about the game, breaking it down from all angles. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.